Hey, this is Steve Sumrall, and thanks for listening in to the Table Talk podcast. I'm going to share something with you. I just came back from a great meeting in Sweden, and every single year since my father, Lester Sumrall, passed away, they've been generous enough to invite me to come back. All these years, I have been going by myself because somebody asked me while I was there, how long have you been coming to the Summer Bible Conference at Word of Life? And the short answer was, well, ever since Dr. Sumrall passed away, so that would be 22 years, 22 times in a row. And then I said, and beside that, though, it's how many times I came with Dr. Sumrall while he was still alive. And so I have quite a history there in Sweden and love the people, love the ministry. And hats off to the host of the conference, the pastors Joachim and his wife Maria. They did a wonderful job. Everything well coordinated, gracious host, had a great time. But one of the things that I wanted to focus on this year is their Bible school. And I have done that for many years now. But the purpose of it this time was to talk about the legacy of Dr. Lester Sumrall. Because a lot of those people in that meeting, they're the first and second generation of the birth of that ministry. And now this upcoming generation, this generation, they don't know a whole lot personally about Dr. Sumrall. Because it's videos or audios or a book he might have written or translated to Swedish, or they're trying to read it in English. But they don't know the personal touch of who and what Dr. Sumrall really was. And so I read to them a scripture that I'm going to share with you. It comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and beginning in verse 1. It said, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. And so we also take a look at verse 8 saying, I am always being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Boy, what strong words that were. That was verse 6 of chapter 4. And he said, I am a drink offering poured out to God. Have you ever thought yourself as a drink offering? A lot of times we sing songs, old-fashioned songs at least, fill my cup, Lord, or I want to be used of you, fill me up so I can pour out on others. But a lot of times people, they want to be filled just for the sake of themselves being filled and gratified themselves and have the joy and the peace, but also and the anointing and the power. But guess what, friends? Power is not all about you. The power of God is not all about you. The power of God is for us to be conduits to a very hurting world and a world that is disturbed and needs Jesus desperately. And if there is anybody that I know in modern time who was an example of his life being poured out for humanity as a drink offering to God, that was my father, Lester Sumrall, that he gave it his all. You know, one of the last things he said, and also in one of his Bibles, when he was a young man still, he wrote it in the back of his Bible. He said, if I die rich, I die a traitor to the cause of Christ. Wow. Wow. But, you know, people all over the world, not just the United States, they want to have stuff. We need stuff. We want stuff to pass along. And then others, sadly, they hoard stuff. We dig gold out of the ground, then we put it back in the ground to hide it. Isn't that amazing? And there is so much that could be done for the kingdom of God, but not only the kingdom of God, but just the welfare of man, of wells being dug and buildings being built and medications and paying doctors and flying ambulances, being helicopters and jets and ships and boats and wow, the list never ends if we all had that own concept. If I die rich, I die a traitor to the cause. You know, Brother Sermol had a saying he said in our own church many times. He said, if you do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. Chew on that one. Oh, yeah, yeah, because there have been too many wills made out to nonprofits and churches and good things that after a person passes away, the heirs do anything they want to with that stuff. And that's just not right. Because that Gen 1, Generation 1, could be godly, know the Lord, love God with all their hearts, and they want to give to that ministry the time of their passing. And maybe the kids, not so much, the grandkids, no contact at all. And they said, no, that's my stuff. Why should that church be getting that? Why should that ministry be giving that? There's lots of people giving to that ministry. Why should they take that right out of my pocket? And so wills get changed and things get spent differently. And so it's so important to understand that we are a drink offering for one purpose, and that is to, number one, please our Heavenly Father. We don't have to please mankind, but we do have to please our Heavenly Father and do the work that He has sent us to do. And that's what He started. That's what Dr. Lester Sermol started to do. Was He always that way? The simple answer, no. He started off as a hellion. He was a mean little old rascal until the age of 17. He ran with the wrong crowd. In fact, many years ago, he told me, he says, all of my childhood friends before they were 20 were all dead. And they were dead by accident. They were dead by shootings. They were dead by holdups, by gang activity. They're all dead. He ran with the wrong bunch. And it really was the grace of Almighty God and the prayers of my grandmother, Betty, that he lived to see the day, besides the disease trying to take his life. In fact, one time he was down in Mardi Gras and having a great old time like everybody thinks they're doing down there in Mardi Gras. And he had a coat on, and somebody ran into him with a beer, splashed it on him, and he might have said something in retaliation that probably wasn't too polite. And the guy all of a sudden whipped out a razor blade and slashed from doctor's shoulder down past his other side down to his hip. And he thought that, oh, that didn't hurt, didn't even touch me. And he went in the opposite direction. Except when he got home, he found out that his leather coat was cut from top to bottom, clear down to his skin, but not one scratch came to his body. That was a miracle of God. That was a miracle of God. The hand of God on the life of Lester Sermol. Well, what happened? He got tuberculosis. And many years ago, when he was a little boy, they could do nothing. And they said, all you need is sunshine. All you need is a whole lot of sunshine and a whole lot of fresh air. And they lived in a house right there in the Gulf of Mexico with lots of sunshine and lots of air. But there's a problem. Lester was dying. And in his teenage bravado, he would spit up blood and to those who were around him. Oh, that's just chewing tobacco. And he'd make light of it. But it wasn't chewing tobacco. He was coughing up his lungs. He was dying. In fact, the doctor said to his parents the last time the doctor saw him, I said, you know what, this boy here, he is dying. He is dying. And I'm going to give you tonight his death certificate, because by tomorrow morning he's going to be gone. And you take this down to the cemetery plot, and you can buy a plot to put his body, because he will not last the night at all. He is going gone. You know, the problem with that is this. Lester had his eyes closed, but his ears were wide open. And that's a good word for any of you that go and visit people that are sick and you're praying for them. And just be careful what you say, because their eyes might be closed, but they can hear everything you're saying. So you don't stand there and comment about how funny they look or their face is puffy. Boy, look at that scar over there. And man, I don't know how long, it's a miracle they've lasted this long. All those kind of silly things. You can't do that. You go in there and you speak the word of God, you speak the word of faith, and you try to encourage those that are family members that are there in the room, and that's your job. You're not there to make commentary. You're there to lift them up, to help them. But Lester heard those words, "This man is going to die tonight." So he fell asleep, fell into a fitful sleep. And all of a sudden he had a vision from God, vision from heaven. And it was God's last opportunity. And just a question mark here. Have you passed all of God's warning signs and stop signs? Because there'll be a time in your life when, guess what? No more stop signs. You're finished. He's done with you. God actually said this in the Old Testament. He said, "My spirit will not always strive with man," saying there is an end. I am patient God. I am a merciful God. I am a God of grace. But you keep pushing, and you're going to push all the way to the end. And so that night, that was decision time for Lester Sumrall. And there he was in his bed, and the vision came of a casket just his side, on one side of him. I said, "Boy, I don't like the way that looks." But on the other side of him was a great big Bible. And once again, just as big as he was. And so he saw that Bible and he saw that casket. And inside of it, he knew God was speaking and said that tonight you're going to choose one of these. You're going to choose to die, or you can choose to live. But in order to live, you're going to preach. And every single day you preach, you'll be alive. When you stop preaching, that'll be the end. So he wrestled with it all night long. And he said to God, "God, I certainly don't want to die. I'm too young for that. I've got my life ahead of me. But I really hate preachers." You know, that's quite a problem when God says you got to preach. And so, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. But finally, he wrestled, reconciled it with himself on the inside, says, "Okay, I want to live, and I will preach. And God, if your word is true, then I'll be the oldest living preacher that anybody knows of." And so that next morning, his mama knocked on the door. I said, "Are you still there? Lester, are you still there?" He popped his eyes open and said, "Yep, I'm still here." I said, "Well, what do you want? What would you like? Would you like just a little bit of warm milk?" He says, "Oh, no, what did my dad have for breakfast before he went to work?" And Lester's dad, he was a steel worker. And he was a big, strong, husky man. And he had that good old southern breakfast. He had ham. He had potatoes. He had all the fixings. I mean, coffee, juice. He had it all. And so Lester said, "Just give me the same thing my dad had this morning." And so his good mama went out and fixed it for him, brought it back to him. And not even in a short space of time, she came back to get the plates, and they're all clean. I said, "What happened to you? Are you sick? You know you can't eat that kind of food. You haven't eaten solid food in weeks." And he looked at his mom and said, "Mama, God visited me last night, and I'm healed." And then she ran out of the room crying again. So first time she was crying with sadness, and that time she was crying with joy. Because God had answered her prayers. God was gracious to her. And she had prayed for that wayward boy many times. Because sometimes at night, he would steal away, go partying, try to sneak back into the house. Of course, back in the day with frame houses, you can't sneak anywhere. They're just loud things. You tiptoe, you think you're tiptoeing, and you creak all over the place. And he'd creak open the bedroom door, and oh! There was Mama at his bedside praying for lost Lester Sumrall. Well, that prayer was answered, and God was faithful. And is there more to the story? You better believe it, there's a whole lot more to the story. So keep listening to the podcast. See you later on Table Talk.
If you'd like to support Pastor Steve and the work of Sumrall Ministries International, visit smiltd.org and select the Giving tab. Sumrall Ministries International is a 501c3 nonprofit organization supporting the work of God here in America and around the world. Thanks for listening.